Hey guys, so today I thought we'd explore a question that I get asked a lot, and it's what's the biggest difference between who you were on the left and who you are now? And so often I answer that by saying, you know, when I was on the left, I was so angry and so depressed. And today I've been giving it some thought. Why is that? And it seems to be a pattern among a lot of left-leaning, or especially the extreme left-leaning progressive people. They're a little angry. So let's explore that topic today. Get into it. Okay, guys, before we get into today's topic, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a new video for you guys on this channel, and thank you so much for your support. Now, I got inspiration for this video because Taylor shot me over a TikTok of a former leftist talking
about...
That's
right, I'm on the TikTok.
Yeah, Taylor's...
Just like the young Gen Z kids, I'm on there
he's
occasionally.
Hip. I'm hip. Too hip to be square over here. He shot me over a TikTok of this woman talking about herself as a former leftist and why she was particularly angry. So I feel like we should start off today by watching said video.
People ask me all the time why I think people on the left are angry. You know, coming from the left. I guess I'm a fairly good source to ask. There's a lot of factors at play. Cognitive dissonance, one. Which, if you don't know, that's the discomfort one feels from having contradicting thoughts or beliefs. Also, every issue on the left is made into an emotionally charged issue. It's all a form of some type of injustice. And if you actually believe that there's all these different injustices occurring in the world, you're going to be angry about it. But also look at the content that people are pushing out. I mean, most of the time when I see like super woke creators, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're angry, they're emotionally charged. Now imagine being locked in an algorithm on every platform giving you all of that content. Imagine your friends, everyone in your life, being angry all the time about things that are going on in the world. You're going to be angry. And then add on top of that, all the people dealing with a lot of emotional turmoil, and they might not know where to put that, so they're pushing it into politics. Just my two cents.
Just her two cents. Let's pause that. Honestly, I feel like she did my job for me with this video. But there are so many different things that we can dive into. She mentioned four things. I think we should go through each of them. Cognitive dissonance being the first one. Man, do I relate to this so hard. When I was working for the left, I would often go to these different conferences and go and knock doors and hand out pamphlets, get people to fill out surveys and all these things. And I would get questions from maybe conservative or more classically liberal people who would challenge my beliefs, and the cognitive dissonance that I would feel in trying to defend those beliefs was unbelievable. It was insane. I remember one time this student came up and asked me, because, you know, a lot of the left criticizes the government, and it's like, you know, the government is doing this wrong, they're oppressing us, they've subjugated us for so long, our systems and institutions are oppressive and racist and patriarchal and all these things. And I was talking about socialism, and this kid walks up to me and he's like, you want socialism, so you want the government in control of all these things, but you're also telling me that the government is super oppressive and racist and patriarchal. How can you want both of those things at the same time? And oh my gosh, in that moment, you can just feel your brain exploding of, oh no, 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 no. I've been caught in a major contradiction. So instead of going, you know what? That makes total sense. You just get super defensive, and anger and depression and sadness and all these things, you just project out onto other people. So imagine going through that every single day. Every single day.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about sometimes when you have a need for something to be true, you encounter facts that contradict your
right.
Need for something that you've staked your identity, you've staked your source of meaning on a certain cause being this, you know, and you being this agent in this cause who's making change. And then someone presents you with the facts of like, hey, the very thing you're advocating for is actually causing harm. Then how do you react to that? You can either be like, oh, okay, well, I guess I was just wrong, so let me completely rebuild my identity and allow it to, you know, like rebuild my entire source of meaning because you just torpedoed it. Or you can deny and get angry and change the, reframe it and change the debate and refuse to acknowledge the thing that is undercutting your entire argument. And that's easier to do than really accepting that hey, maybe my whole life is just completely a lie right now.
Right. And they give you the tools to just reject, like just get it away from you. They'll tell you, well, don't even listen to people who disagree with you because those people are inherently evil and you shouldn't listen to them anyways. Or when you do end up talking to those people, you have all these safeguards. How often have you heard somebody on the left say, you can't talk about transgender issues because you're not transgender. You don't know what it feels like. You can't talk about black issues because you're not black. You don't know what it feels like. I've even been told that I can't talk about black issues in America because I'm not a descendant of slaves. So everywhere you turn, there the goalpost moves, right, and switches and changes, and you have an extra guard that you can use against people when they challenge you. And imagine how frustrating that is, not for the person you're talking to, but for you to have to constantly like try to battle and fend off things when really the problem is within your own ideology, within your own thinking. So cognitive dissonance 100% contributed to me being angry on the political left. She then goes into the injustice factor. And man, I think this one drives it in more so than anything. This is why I was such an angry person on the left and probably why she was most of the time as well. Every day you wake up and something is wrong. Somebody's being oppressed. There's somebody who's being attacked. And it's so strange. Even small political back and forth that we have with each other have become attacks. You know, it's no longer a cultural debate. It's a culture war. People are fighting and dying and lives are being lost for the sake of ideology and things that people are espousing. One day it's Ukrainians are under attack. The next is Palestinians are under attack. Then it's black women are under attack. Then it's trans people are under attack. Then it's black men are under attack. Then it's gay people are under attack. And every single day, you feel like you are engaging on a battlefield, and it's not the case whatsoever. But to wake up like that and not only feel that and have it thrown at you, but to seek it out is horrible. I remember that I would wake up and you know, try to find projects to work on when I was on the left, because I was working with young people and organizing protests and doing educational seminars and all these things. You have to quite literally look at the world through the lens of oppression and find the injustice. I would hear stories on the news and go, oh, well, that must have happened because racism here, patriarchy there, this right here happened. That's because of capitalism. And even if there wasn't any exploitation happening or any true oppression happening, I would find an angle where it was happening. I would find a reason. So even positive stories, I could switch into something that was just in itself so negative. And you have to imagine that that reflects on you as a person. It just becomes part of your personhood to be super negative and looking for the wrong in everything.
Yeah, and I think that's symptomatic too of this the overarching narrative that is in our culture is this, hey, there's this patriarchal systemic issues that America is inherently not a good place and not a force for good. And it's on you, young activist, young person, to do what you can to bring down the system, to break down all of these obstacles that are victimizing people. And what it robs young people of is this journey of figuring out their identity on the basis of what are my talents? What are my original thoughts? What are my passions? What are my what do I want to do and build in the world? Because in a world where if America is the land of opportunity and we're in a free world, then you're free to pursue what's in your heart and pursue what you're interested in and develop yourself as an individual and you know, pursue the art or the business or whatever that you want to grow in and get yourself educated. But when you're being preached at from the time you're a child, the first time you log into TikTok, when you're watching Disney or whatever, that America is this big oppressive place, then and it's your job to bring it down and support the people who are bringing down all these oppressive institutions. And that's where you need to get your source of meaning, not in figuring out your identity or figuring out what your talents are or pursuing family or something like that. It's all just about activism.
Yes.
And you have to solve the oppression. And if you don't, it's like the weight of the world on it. And no wonder so young people are struggling with mental health and feeling like all this anxiety because, oh my God, people are being oppressed and I have to go save them and it's all on me. And if I don't, then it's like, you're not meant to carry that. And also like, it's fine. Like it's not,
you'd be fine.
You'd be doing a lot more for the world by just like being yourself,
yeah,
and being an individual and developing yourself and giving the world what you have to offer.
Exactly. 100%. And when you were saying all that, like a phrase came to mind, I wrote it down. It's just, you can't win. There's nothing that you can do to win once you've been exposed to this. If you agree with it, you have to be a fighter. And the fight requires a certain amount of rage and anger towards the issues that you're facing. If you disagree with it, you are hated on, you are cast aside, you are ostracized by the group that has given you the ideology. And if you simply say, I'm going to do nothing, I'm not going to fight for either side on this, your silence is violence. You know, people say the worst people in all these situations are the ones who are silenced. Who are silenced, and the one who just sit on and let the bystander effect set in, and they don't do anything, and they don't have either fight. So you can't win from any angle when it comes to being exposed to this stuff. No wonder you're angry, depressed, and you feel like there's nothing that you can do, or there's everything that you can do all at the same time. It's insane. And she goes on her
real
third
quick
point,
I have to add a thought here that just popped in my head while you were saying that. When you talked about how like young people are being essentially like militarized by this ideology, and you're being asked to sacrifice your individuality, sacrifice your what you would otherwise pursue if not for this great battle that you have to be engaged in. And I was reminded of how the other day we covered that story about the diversity stuff in the military, and how the woke people in the military are saying, well, military members should be able to express themselves and express their individuality through their haircuts and through the way they dress and show their tattoos. And it's all about like the military is making it's overly oppressive to people and keeping them from expressing their individuality. And while they're advocating for that, that's literally what they're doing in the culture wars to everyday people. They're saying they're militarizing young people and keeping them from thinking for themselves and asserting themselves in the world as individuals and saying, no, you must just agree with all of the standards that we set for you, and you must advocate for this ideology and stay within these bounds of thinking. Isn't that
so
crazy?
Wild.
They're doing the very thing while they're like saying that the military is bad for trying to, de-emphasize individuality and focus on the mission, which is really what the military is supposed to do. And,
exactly.
And society is supposed to not be militarized and just be free.
You have one job. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that it all is sort of cycled into one another. You know, this all becomes what she said in the beginning, cognitive dissonance. Like it's a constant rejection of itself, but one that people are not willing to admit that it is. And that's the insanity of it all. And she goes on from cognitive dissonance to injustice to content. And this is the true, like, this is the true evil of it all, even though I don't like the word evil. Well, this is the true problem with it all, is that when young people get engaged with this stuff, okay, let's say on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, it's fed right back to them. And it's not fed back to them in a way that challenges anything that they believe. If you go and like a Hassan Piker video or something like that, it's not going to recommend you Joe Rogan to see if you like something different. It's just going to give you exactly what it is that you've told them that you like. And it is that oppression. It is that injustice. It is a constant new fight, a constant new oppression that you need to be made aware of, something that you need to educate yourself on. Like we go to these like left-leaning Instagram pages, and you can go through and just scroll through. Every post is a new person who is experiencing some sort of injustice, and you need to do something about it. And here's the GoFundMe, or here's the black square, here's the conversation that you can have with an individual. And if you don't keep up with everything, you're doing it wrong. Like if I question you about an injustice and you don't know about it, you're uneducated. You need to unlearn and relearn and all this stuff. The onus is always on you as an individual to keep up with all of this. And imagine being a young person and seeing all this and going, oh my gosh. And then you log on to social media and just hear more of it. And we can talk about globalization and whether or not we are learning way more than we need to learn, and we're too caught up in other people's lives that we would have never been aware of had we not had this sort of connection, and whether or not that's harmful, that's a whole separate discussion. But this is what young people are experiencing day in and day out. I even get it recommended to me just because social media looks at my demographics of being a young half black female and goes, this is what she wants to see. So imagine if you actually believe it, and the content loop is just feeding it to you over and 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 over. No wonder people are depressed and anxious. You think the world's going to end in like 12 years.
Yeah, and I mean, that, I think it's important to note here too that it is true for like both sides. This is just the way social yeah. media algorithms work,
right?
And so the problem is you don't want to be trapped in, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a buzzword with social media. It's like, oh, echo chambers, but mm-hmm. but it is true that you don't want to just be fed stuff that just reinforces dogma that you're already predisposed to believe. And I think any healthy thinking person should have a little bit of skepticism about anything that they see, and be skeptical of things that reek of ideology on either side. But the key is, and we talk about this a lot when it comes to like social media and technology, is just you got to be smarter than the technology that's trying to use you.
Which is hard.
And most of these platforms, I mean, some of them may. I mean, it's clear, like Twitter, with what they allow to trend, and TikTok with who they ban, and that type of thing, do have a political bias. But I think the overwhelming bias is just in they're competing against each other for your attention,
yep.
And so they want to give you whatever is going to keep you on the platform. So if it's mind-numbing content that'll just make you a vegetable who mm-hmm. just scrolls through and watches cat videos all day, then they'll give that to you. But if it's political too, and they can get you riled up and angry, they'll do that no matter what. And I think right. it's important to just make sure that you're not just being fed ideology that you already agree with, and to be thinking critically about the issues on their merits, and not just used to being stuck in your echo chamber.
Yeah, they don't want to run the risk of you only using their app one time or a handful of times. They want to constantly suck you in. And as we're engaging on this subject matter, talking about politics, but it really is with anything. It is with mind-numbing cat videos. If that's what you're into, that's what it's going to give you. And it's not going to give you a dog video to test if you want something else, except at least not out the gate. Because they just want this constant loop, constant loop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is that you're engaging with. And it's like me and Taylor try to stay on top of it, but I wonder how on top of it I actually am. Like, I feel like I'm cognizant of it. I can see things in the algorithm and I can go, okay, I'm not even going to like this video. I'm not going to linger on this video because I know right. it's going to circle this back to me. Even if I do like it, even if I do engage with it, I am not going to do it, and I'm not going to put any ounce of my personality or my personal beliefs into the way that I engage with these platforms. And I'll see ads that pop up and things and go, yep, I liked a video last week and now I have an ad for that. Okay, I'm cognizant of that. Mental block. I'm going to block that out. And you try, but even feeling like you're on top of it, I'm probably only like 10% on top of what they're actually doing with my brain, which is scary. Very scary.
It is true. Like, I feel like it's like, even if you're by yourself in your room, someone's watching you while you're using social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the algorithms. It's the people behind these apps. And they are looking at the slightest. Like Joe Rogan just talked about how TikTok is tracks your keystroke patterns when you're typing. And oh, my button flipped over here. Scott can fix that in post. But yeah, you're being watched for better or worse. And I do the same thing when I'm scrolling through social media. It's like, it's not, do I like this post? It's, do I want to see more of this type of thing?
Right.
And so
right.
Sometimes I'll like see a meme and I'll be like, oh, that was funny. But if I double tap it, they're going to show me like 20 more memes.
Yep.
Or Twitter. Like, I had this happen where it showed me like a bit of artwork from a Russian painter named Ivan Ivazovsky. And I liked it because it was like this awesome, like naval, like, at, you know, maritime type art. And I just was like, oh, that's really cool. So I liked it. And then the next thing I know, like 20 more paintings.
Yep.
And I kept liking them because I was like, well, I kind of want more of these.
Yeah,
in my feed. But
exactly.
It's funny how you could like kind of curate it. And I, you know, but something else that's a tool that I think is useful for people watching is if you see someone from the other side who tends to argue in good faith,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, that they help you understand how other people see things and it's not just this outrage stuff. So I like those.
Like it,
and
yeah.
I'll follow those people yeah. sometimes and try to get glimpses of that because I think it helps reinforce your argument and helps you understand how other people think. And that's important in this world. So
100%. And the last note that she sort of mentioned here was emotion. And that's sort of a through line throughout this whole video. All of these things are capable of taking over your brain, the cognitive dissonance, the injustice, the content, because your emotions allow them to do so. And the same can be said for people who are on the political right end of the spectrum. But there is just something that is elevated about the emotional status of people on the left. Yeah. And that is looped in with the fact that you think everything's an injustice, that you think emotions are going to help you fight. And emotions are such a visceral thing for people. And it's such a smart way to get people's support and get them to feel something. Everybody wants to feel something. You know, I'm sure some of you guys experience this. I don't know if this is just a girl thing, but sometimes girls are like, I just want to watch a sad movie today. I want to watch something that is going to evoke emotion, make me want to cry, something like that, make me feel something. And maybe for guys, it's like, I want to watch a war movie, or I want to watch something patriotic, and I want to watch something that's going to make me feel like I need to fight and I need to be a man. And we all want those things, and it's about where you get them. And I think having a healthy self-awareness of where that taps in for you and what you get out of it. And you can totally go and watch a sad movie, or for men, watch something that makes you feel really manly, and leave that and feel reinvigorated and feel like, oh, okay, I have a new fulfilled sense of purpose. I have a direction I want to go in. I feel inspired by what I've just done. Or you can tap into that emotion and just be destroyed by the feeling that you've found in doing that. And I think with leftism in politics, that's what happens. Is I have this purpose that I want to find. I want to be in a fight. I want to feel emotional. And then when you get it, you go, oh, I feel nasty now because I've really taken on something that A, might not even be true, but B, if it is, there's really nothing I can do about it as an individual. Which is what they teach you. You know, there's nothing you can do about this. It's one person. You need to go find other people. You need to create a larger group. You need to fight. And maybe by the time you die, we won't have fixed this. But at least you gave all your time and energy and effort into it. And that can't be good. Like, it can't be good for your psyche. And like I said, the same thing happens on the other end of the spectrum. But there just seems to be an elevated sense of that feeling on the left. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you make a great point that it's not inherently wrong to be emotional. No. Or to, you know, it's like if you see a sad puppy video or something, mm-hmm. like it's a natural human response to. Now, chances are that's like an ad for like the Humane Society and they're trying to raise money off of it,
right.
Which is just, you know, political groups do it. Businesses do it. The emotions are powerful. And again, that's just a, you know, it's something that where you have to delineate in yourself. Am I living a life of healthy emotional balance, and is when I'm manifesting emotion on matters of politics or whatever, like is that in check with my critical thinking and my broader worldview, or am I just being drugged by the foot by people who are emotionally manipulating me and algorithms that are emotionally manipulating me? And that is not a healthy place for you to be as an individual, and you're that is how they make you a slave.
Yep.
To you're a slave to people that you don't even see behind a screen, and they're because the emotions are powerful, and they can get you to circumvent your better senses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if society's not going to be better off with everybody just feeding off of this emotion and feeding back this emotional outrage machine and feeding back into it, it's going to be better off when people step back and say, okay, let me think critically about where I am and balance that a little bit. But it's not inherently wrong to be emotional, and that's a good point.
Right, yeah. And I really, those four things sum it up for me as far as where my mindset was, you know, 4 years ago when I was doing the work that I was doing. Cognitive dissonance, searching for injustice, content feedback loops, essentially, and just the emotion that ties into all of it. I'm trying to think outside of those four things and think, is there anything else that really contributed to my mindset at the time? I mean, other than the fact that I think maybe a fifth thing is that, you know, there's no pauses in the battle. It's like, it's a constant. It's ever constant. Like, you have to keep up because there's something new every single day. And on the left, when people would like take breaks from work, they'd be like, oh, I'm just taking some time to heal. If you're saying that about taking a break from your job, there's something wrong. And that is so often, we would do like racial healing circles, or people would take mental health days from work, which is normal and I think becoming more normalized. But if your break from doing your job every single day or on the weekend or for a vacation, you feel like you need healing, there is a problem. And I've never walked away from the job that I do now and on the weekend be like, oh, I just need to heal this weekend. Or like, I need to take this vacation so I can have some time to heal. And that means you're traumatizing yourself. You really are inflicting trauma upon yourself. Now they'll say, well, somebody else inflicted the trauma and now it's just something that I have to deal with as a human being. But think about your responsibility when it comes to that, and think about taking your taking accountability for what you are actually putting yourself through, that you don't have to put yourself through. So maybe that's a fifth thing for me, just the constant nature of the fight when you are on the left.
That's really good. I feel like the Jews are onto something with the whole Sabbath thing. Yeah. And how, you know, like the Ben Shapiro's and Dennis Prager's of the world. There's something to this idea of like taking a rest periodically and shutting off technology.
Sure.
And just spending time with family. And that's where you read books and stuff. And I can just say, like, I usually when I go home from work, I'm either like I have dinner with my wife, and then we're either like watching a show, or we'll get books and have like time where we just sit and read. And I always feel so much better after I read.
Right.
And sometimes you don't always have energy for it, and it's okay to like relax and watch a TV show. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like I have such a healthy thing. It's like I think back when there you used to have to like defragment your hard drive because everything's like gets all jumbly, and like just creating space to like think and untangle all of the little tiny things that are competing for your attention all day long, and just clearing it all out, and like, wow, I have space to think. And one of the things I've actually been reading right now is J.R.R. Tolkien's biography, the author of Lord of the Rings, and before that I was reading Teddy Roosevelt and Ben Franklin, and all three of them were just back in that day. The way that they would like socialize is they would come up with these little clubs where they'd meet with a couple of friends and discuss books that they'd been reading and share poetry that they've written.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's so far, such far removed. They didn't have TikTok. And so what are you going to do? And of course, when even young people, there was nothing to do. There's no internet. There's no television. There's no Hollywood. And so you just read books and so you pursue the areas of interest that you have. So some people ended up more in the classics realm, some people in linguistics or whatever, or history or mathematics. And they would have like each one in their little clubs would have like their little area of expertise, and they'd like share ideas and share what they were learning. I'm like, we are
so far removed from this.
Right,
no, we're not.
Yeah. So anyway, I think there's your that last point that you're added is really good, of just creating space to think and unplug and not having this constant pace of like short, tiny attention span, 15-second TikTok videos all day, and not ever having a 15-second thinking span.
Right.
Is just not healthy.
And maybe don't let your work traumatize you. Like, I think like that's somewhere where we could unite. We were filming with I won't say who we were filming with this past week, but they came in and said, you know, where are some places where the left and the right can unite? And in big pharma and big corporations was part of that. But another one is just like, we all want people to be successful and sort of hone in on the skills that they have and the things that they want to do. I don't think anybody wants to force somebody to do something that they don't want to do. But and if your work is harming you and causing you trauma, man, maybe step away from it for a second and just reevaluate a little bit. But yeah, guys, those are my thoughts. Is there anything that I left out, you think? Another reason why people on the left tend to be angry? Are any of you former leftists who went through that angry, depressed phase of your life? Or are you a leftist right now who's watching, who's perfectly happy with where you are right now? And if so, how do you deal with people who are on your side of things who aren't as happy as you are? And how have you managed to get away from that list that we've stated today in today's video? Do you even agree with the list that we've stated in today's video? If there's a point you think I should have made, drop it down below. If there's a point where you agree or disagree, drop that down below. We always like to encourage healthy conversation in the comments down below. And I love to read you guys talking back and forth to each other. And guys, if you like this video, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time that we go live or post a video. And that is all. Thank you guys so much for watching. Peace out.